special phrases in talking. Well, this is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Special phrases in talking. We all use special phrases as we are sharing ideas together, as we are sharing words and sharing concepts. And as we use these special phrases, we sometimes are understood and sometimes we are not understood. As we speak even out of our different area, for instance, I'm from Wisconsin, and when I would be anywhere around the United States, people would say, oh, you're from the Midwest, or you're from Wisconsin. They might even pin it down because they would recognize some idioms or some little phrases that I'd used that were significant from Wisconsin. And then when I went to the University of Chicago, people said, oh my God, you're from the University of Chicago. And then when I was in Kansas City at Unity School of Christianity, I was studying to be a minister there and taking on many of the idioms and attitudes of the Missouri people. And people would say, oh, you're from Missouri. And then when I moved to California and I lived in California operating newspapers and magazines there, people would say, when I'd go back east or go back to Wisconsin to visit relatives, oh, well, how's it feel to live in California? My goodness, how did you know I was from California? Well, you have all of the little languages and all the little phrases and all the little intonations in your voice that indicate that you're from California. Just like the New Yorkers, they have a certain way of doing it. And the bottles that come from Canada, and little phrases and little words that distinguish you from wherever it is that you are currently or were living. My brother came back from being a soldier in London and in England, and he had been in England for, oh, several years. And during that time, he took on all of their intonalities for speaking. And as soldiers in Europe, it was quite natural and quite normal for him to speak that way as he was in London. But when he came back to Wisconsin and he spoke with those clipped tones that the British are so well known for, we thought he was affected. But having been a world traveler since that time myself, I find that as I am visiting different countries and visiting different attitudes, I will take on the little phrases that are consistent in that area, and I'll take them on in English. And to my English-speaking friends, many times those phrases from Switzerland or Germany or Austria or Italy and France and Spain and England, as well as Africa and South America even, and all the places I go, and especially Canada too, they're unique. And so when I come back with those phrases, people say, oh, you picked that up in Canada. Oh, you picked that up in Italy. And they're right. These are little phrases that we pick up wherever we go, and we do it unconsciously, and we make it ours. And when anyone has to translate us, as I have translators into all the languages wherever I go, and they're translating for me, I was translated into Russian as I was speaking at the University of Moscow and University of Leningrad, St. Petersburg area. As I was doing work up there, I had translators who translated from English to Russian. And they would translate from Russian to English for me of what other people were saying about and to me. And as they spoke, they had that clipped accent of the English. So I know, and I knew who their tutors were in learning English, and they were British, because they had all the British tonalities and all the British phrases that were quite common for the British to use. Now, you say, how do you learn all these phrases that are very common in all these different countries? Well, the thing is, you don't. As you are exposed to it, it becomes part of your nature. But you don't specifically go in there and learn it. Now, some linguists will do that. Some linguists will go around the world learning different languages and learning all of the dialects and the idiomatic phrases that they're using there, the little concepts that make them unique and different. And you say, oh, you're from Munich, you know, you're from the Bavarian part of Germany. Oh, you're from Heidelberg, and you're the Hochdeutsch, you're the High German type of speaking. And the Low German, I guess, is what they call the Bavarians, but the Bavarians have a warmth and a charm about their speaking German that make it quite attractive and quite charming. The Heidelbergians and Frankfurtians, when they speak with such crispness and ich liebe dich, you know, with such preciseness to it, that sometimes it sounds almost like an affront. And really, it's just a matter of that's the way things are pronounced there. But I have a feeling that even these precise people, when they get into a emotional, loving relationship, they get rid of the ich liebe dich and ich liebe dich, ach jei. And you see, the tonality of the voice varies so greatly, and we don't have to become dialectic conscious to do that. All we do is to listen, to flow. And I have people translating me into many different languages, languages I had not studied. And yet, as I hear them translating my words, I know if they are putting across the issue that I'm pointing out, if they're putting across the impact of the point that I'm making, or whether they have somehow missed it. And if I feel that, if I know that, I sense it by really knowing quite well what they're saying, then I say what I want to say in another way. In another way, sometimes as many as 10 times I say it in different ways, and the people think I'm just being idiosyncratic, saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and not realizing that until it's said exactly expressing the concept that I have in my mind for that phrase, the phrase does not get across my idea. Now, to do these sort of things, you have to be wide awake and alert. You got to be very much on top of everything. You cannot be a sleepyhead. You cannot be uninterested in languages. You cannot be uninterested in what's going on. You have to really listen closely, really care a lot, and really tune in to, if you have a translator, to your translator, so that you and the translator are one, that they know what you want to say, even though your words may say it in a way that doesn't quite come across. They know the German and Spanish and French and Italian idiomatic sympathy that you want to get through. And so when it's spoken in Russian, you sound like you are a very caring being. And truly, this is what it's all about. Languages and translations are really quite something. And when you translate, you have to really be on top of things. And when you speak, you have to really, really be on top of things. Because you have to have such an open heart to your translator and to your audience that you feel when they're getting, ah, yes, oh, I see, mm-hmm. And if you're not getting those kind of responses, you know that whatever you're putting across is not being put across by your translator. So, then you just say it again, say it again, say it again, not unkindly. It's a good practice for you, but with love and joy and peace, and with the expectation that it functions every time. Ah, life is wonderful, isn't it? We have the most wonderful things in our world that give us the opportunity to be ourselves and have fun and live in this most dynamic, fulfilling, rewarding world. This is a lovely day, isn't it? Sun is shining. Everything is beautiful. And you have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.